Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss. Mwah.
I was like, no moi.
No moi.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. It is early.
But they don't know that. They could be listening
to this at
any time of the day. That's the magic of media, Juice. We have to be
bright. Well, for us, it is early. It is early. Well, for you, not for me. For me, it's 11 a.m. for me. For you, it's almost 8.
But we both had this experience today where we had to get up earlier than perhaps usual. But anything for the SQ cuties. What happened to you? Mr. Box had an alarm go off at 5?
Mr. Box has decided that he would like to greet the day at 5 a.m. when he does not need to leave the house until 7:30. So he has his wonderful alarm clock come off at 7, and then he just starts his day. And then there's me, like, well, I'm awake.
Now you know how it feels. Now you know how it feels. Finally, someone has upped the ante with your early morning antics. Juicebox is always like, oh, I get up at like 6 a.m. Like, no problem, girly pop.
But
like,
I go to bed at 10, you know?
I know, you're like 10. There's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, like 10 till 6 is a normal way to sleep.
You
totally. Know, but 10 till 5? No.
I know.
Give me till my 6, you know?
Absolutely. But. Absolutely. So other than sleep deprivation, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling a little sick again.
Oh my God.
Yes. I'm feeling a little under the weather. I just got over a cold and that feels like it's like hit me again. It's this weather change. The fall makes me sad. You
yes.
know? I'm not a pumpkin spice girl.
Do we have a time change coming soon? I think it's like next week and we lose an hour, right? Like it's
I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to think about it. It makes me just
juice and time today. This is the riveting content our SQ cuties come for. Did you do anything for Halloween?
No, and I think that's another thing why I'm a little sad is I didn't have any Halloween costumes, no Halloween parties, no Halloween gigs. Like, and I love Halloween. It's my favorite. It's gay Christmas. It's like, so I didn't get to do really anything for Halloween. And this year we're just giving out candy and we don't get a lot of kids. But I will say, I don't know if I've told you this, because we don't get a lot of kids, we are giving out full chocolate bars.
Ooh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I used to literally go to my dad's neighborhood because there was one house on the block that did full-size chocolate bars.
Full-size chocolate bars. I think we got 50 of them. So if 50 kids don't show up, guess what? I got full chocolate bars at my house.
Store them in the gym. Eat one between workouts.
Yeah. Every time I do a lift, I'm like, that's sugar. It'll help
Life
me.
Is about balance. Life is about balance.
Mm-hmm. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, I'm so excited. By this point, when the episode comes out, I will have dropped my iconic Halloween costume. I was Cynthia from Rugrats. If you
have not
online.
Showed me yet.
Oh my God, girl. Okay. Let me show you one right now. Over
Cynthia,
the phone.
Cynthia, she's a really cool dancer. Cynthia, boogie to the groove now. Oh my God.
Is that not iconic?
That's good.
I was pretty proud of it because you know why, SQ cuties? Halloween comes around every year and I feel like it's always off the heels of like a busy summer, and it's a chance for all of our MUAs in our industry to really flex, do these cool costumes. We were talking with Lucy LaDuca last week, how certain queens can totally rock that energy. I typically phone it in. I typically phone Halloween in. And I put
You're
on a black
lipstick kind of girl. Yeah.
I put on a black lipstick, one of my two brunette hairs, and then I performed to Disturbia. And then this year I decided to try. I hired a makeup artist to put down a bald cap. I did the rest of the costume. I was really proud of it. It's been busy, but it's like, you know what? Sometimes you just gotta hustle during Halloween, and it feels more fun when you put energy into a costume. And you get the reactions, then it's fun. I've kind of realized what's great about Halloween. And now I understand why you're a little sad, because you didn't have that.
It's so good. I know.
You
well,
didn't get
I
that
cosplay.
Dopamine hit.
I know, but I cosplay all year round. So for me, it's just like,
honey,
most of my
I don't
drag
like
involves
Halloween
cosplay.
Typically.
but my drag is very cosplay based. Like, I do a lot of characters and video game people.
What are we
I'm
trying
saying
to
that
say
you,
about my
I'm
drag?
Saying that, I'm saying that your drag is impersonations. You just
I
do
cosplay.
You.
I cosplay 90s Who? Supermodels. I okay. cosplay the working women of the world.
Shut up. Shut up. I'm like, who the fuck? Who the fuck? I was like, don't start this with me. Don't start this with me.
She's cranky today. Don't you start. Don't
yeah,
you
I was
start.
Like, I'm cranky. I will get on a plane and fly to Vancouver just to punch you
in the face, you dumb bitch.
Just to be like, shut up.
No, I know where you're coming from. I know what you mean. It can be mm-hmm. a lot. So you're cosplaying the other 364 days a year. So we have that.
But that's why I think it's okay that I'm like, okay, I didn't do Halloween, but I'll just do that same costume in like a fucking month, you know, whatever. But getting to our episode, what are we doing today?
Oh my goodness. We are calling from across the pond, hence our crazy hours of recording, because mm-hmm. we have three sexy time zones we're calling in today. We are going back to Drag Race UK, season 4. We have mm-hmm. the one, the only, Just May on the podcast. Are we so excited for another first eliminated queen to bond?
Another pork chop.
I have a question. I have a question. Is it pork chop every year? Like, if you're first out, you're a pork chop queen? I thought it was like the first of the first.
I think it's, for me, it's the first of the first. Is like the pork chopped girls. Like me, gothy, you know, like pork chop, obviously. Like the first girl ever, I feel like, is part of the pork chop.
Of a series,
I feel like, is the pork chop of that country, you know, their pork chop representative. But
so are we appropriating the pork chop term? Like, is just
no,
me
I just,
technically...
but I think it's turned into like you are the pork chopped, you know,
of your season.
It becomes cool. The first out girl, which is like fine. You know, it's like a little club.
I love it. I think the pork chop lounge really did kind of officiate that, right? Like the season.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
I will say when they did that and I was not a part of it, I was just like, come on, guys. Come on. Literally. Where's my picture?
It's just not your day. Oh.
It's just not my day.
But we have Just May on the podcast. That's going to turn everything around. I'm sure she's going to be a delight. Do you have her number?
No, I think you have it.
I've got it. Here, okay. Mm-hmm. Let me dial her in. Beep, boop, beep, beep, boop. Not April. It's definitely not June. It's just May. Welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens, my love.
Hi. I feel demi-qualified rather than semi-qualified.
Okay, cool. Oh, we're getting fancy.
Even less qualified than semi. Oh, babe, British education. Okay. Even worse than Canadian.
Now, I have a quick question before we get into the interview. All of your socials say Just May Does. Is that your last name or is that like a cheeky joke?
No,
that I'm not understanding?
That is literally because when I set up everything, Just May is actually, I think, a Japanese pop star. There's a pop star in Japan that goes by Just May. So I had to then go for something else. And at the time, I had just made a film about Jerry, and I called it Just May Does Jerry. So I just took the Jerry off, and yeah.
I get it.
And there it is.
Thank you.
What is it about Jerry Halliwell, Ginger Spice? What draws you to her? Because I feel like she is the ethos of the Just May brand.
I mean, how long's the podcast? How long have we got? You get along the shore.
As long as you want.
You're our special guest.
Thanks. I mean, well, jump right into it. I mean, the whole thing came about because I remember seeing the Spice Girls in 1996. Sorry. Oh my God. I've misquoted myself. In 1996, and they were on GMTV, which is like a breakfast TV show here. And they were performing Wannabe, mm-hmm. and they were outside on the South Bank in London. And they were all like jumping around. And like at the start, they had so much energy whenever they were performing because they were like, we want this. Ah! And I just remember seeing Jerry and being like, wow, she's amazing. And then obviously, like as the characters grew and grew and grew, and like you kind of got to know them over that 18-month period of Spice Girl hype, it just massively resonated with me because, you know, I was the ginger one that always stuck out. And I was like, oh my God, she is me. And like, I was six going on seven when they came out. And I had just turned, I was just about to turn nine when Jerry left. No, I just turned nine because she left on the 31st of May, 98. And my birthday is the 18th of May.
Was this the worst day of your life?
I remember my mum used to be a cleaner at my primary school, at my kid's school. And I was in school with her because I think it was like half term, like a school holiday. And the woman who she worked with came up to me. She knew I loved the Spice Girls and was like, oh, did you hear that ginger one left the Spice Girls today? And I was like, and I ran away and went and cried under a table.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Worst day of your life. Oh,
haven't stopped crying since.
I haven't. It's why I painted that way on Drag Race.
Did you go as Ginger Spice for Halloween this year?
No, because I hate Halloween.
We were literally just talking about this. Okay, so do you also Halloween. Find Halloween a little bit like it's challenging, right? There's a lot of expectations for drag queens.
And I feel like you either have to go so far out and like you have to do the best costume ever, or you have to be like, I'm going to do a really, really shitty leotard that's like got a skeleton on. And that was one of my outfits. Mm-hmm. And the other one was a Wonder Woman outfit.
Oh, right. You went into a telephone booth. I saw this. You did the like spin thing.
In the UK.
That telephone booth looked really, really old.
It was disgusting. And as soon as I stepped into it in the Wonder Woman outfit, I felt my wig touch the top. And I was like, oh.
Now, as a Ginger Spice impersonator, have you ever been a part of like a Spice Girls group? Because me and Cynthia were both in Spice Girls groups. Obviously. Yes, we were both baby. But were you ever part of one?
I have been. I've been part of a couple. So before Drag Race, Jombas and I we used to do this thing called Sync the Pink. And we were in one together. And that one we performed with Mel C, Sporty Spice.
Oh my goodness. I remember seeing Mel do something with Sync the Pink. You were part of that. Oh, cool.
We were. Well, she's done many things with Sync the Pink. And there's like a few iterations of us. And sometimes I'm not Ginger Spice because like there's the funny lot that they did, which I would be part of. And then there was the dancing one where I wasn't part of that one. But it's
fine. You weren't a dancing diva.
No. Babe, we saw my lip sync. We don't need to ask that.
Exactly. On the show, you did call yourself a shit lip syncer. Speaking of live performing, have we worked on the craft, or are you like, don't put me on the stage? I'm a funny queen. I do many other things. Don't make me lip sync.
Oh, I have one song that I will lip sync to, and it's Stop. Okay. And that's because one of our runways was Neon, and I did a, well done. They both did the choreo for the listeners. one of our runways was Neon, and I did a lollipop lady, which is like the person with a stop sign. What would you call it? For the Canadian listeners. Safety. Yeah.
The stop sign.
Or like
lady.
A construction person. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the official title of that role is, but they know what they mean. Someone who holds like a stop sign.
Yeah.
Cool. Crossing guard.
There you go. Yeah, well done.
There. Crossing guard. That's what we call them.
Give that lady a coconut. So that was one of my looks. And then after the show, I just ran with doing Stop to that. Because it was just easy. And also, you don't have to do very much because you just do the routine that's like... Yeah.
Oh, and the crowd loves it. Although one time I did Stop in a brunch, nobody knew the words. Nobody knew the dance. And I was just like, oh, I want to lay down and I think they were a young crowd, and I was just like, I want to die right now, because like normally that like lights up the room, right? But I was just like, well, I need some millennials in this room.
Yeah,
that everyone part was too young. That yeah part, because just maybe they probably weren't 12; they were probably 22, and they still are like, "Who is this?
Who is the Spice Girls?" And I'm like, "I want to die."
But like, do you find this now, like with Drag Race? I think that because pre-Drag Race, my fan base would have been like 40-plus-year-old women, and yeah, now it's so much younger. It's like teenagers and early teens because of the show. And I'm like
16 to 35. That's yeah, the demographic.
I'm like, you weren't even born when, most likely you weren't born when Jerry was a member of the Spice Girls.
They didn't feel the intense pain that you felt when Jerry left the Spice Girls.
When Geraldine Bandetta, Estelle Halliwell left the Spice Girls, yeah.
One of them is fake. But do you feel a pressure to educate the kids, let them know who Ginger Spice is?
Please don't say let them know. I'm triggered by my lip sync song. I kind of feel like Spice Girls are so ungenerationed, like they cross yeah all thresholds of people, mm-hmm, that you don't really need to educate. Like everyone knows Wannabe, mm-hmm, everyone yeah knows it, and everyone knows who Mel B is because she's on every reality TV show going.
She does yeah, do yeah, a yeah lot.
Yeah. So and Vicky B. Everyone knows Vicky B.
Oh,
she's my favorite.
Beckham.
I love
her. Of course, she's my favorite.
I actually, I did perform for her with the Spice Girls act.
Oh.
Do you remember Astina from season 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were in a Spice Girl tribute together as well. And mm-hmm, we did it with Victoria. We did Victoria.
Really? Was Beckham cool there?
David was there, yeah.
What's
David was there quite short.
Oh, hot. Short king.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is in comparison to me, who is, I'm like six out of drag, and then in drag, like, whatever.
You're like 6'5", and you're calling David Beckham short? He was probably, maybe he was like 5'11".
Yeah, he's probably like, 5'11".
That's hot.
Oh, okay. I'm like, he's like 5'4". Ooh, ooh.
That's how tall I am.
Short king. Oh, no. 5'4", just so small.
In drag, yeah, you could just like tower over him and be like, oh my God, you look cute.
Babe, we haven't met. In drag, I am a solid 5'7". Like, I am not tall. Like, I'm lucky if I hit 5'8 in drag. I'm just like, ooh, I'm so big.
Just pocket sized.
I'm truly very tiny, little, yeah, little. Yeah.
Do you have a proudest moment from Drag Race UK season 4, Jess May?
Leaving.
Was there anything that you were leaving? Oh. Okay.
No,
out of here, bitch.
No, I loved it. And I kind of, years ago when season 1 came out, I said to my housemate at the time, I was like, if ever I get on this program, I'm going to show up with a Tesco's carrier bag with a Union Jack dress in it and leave first. And I said it as a joke.
You manifested it.
I totally manifested. And Jombas tells me this all the time. She's like, you bought this on yourself. But I actually kind of don't. I mean, I don't mind it because I've kind of played into it with the whole Jerry thing. And like, she left the band first. But like, I mean, you were a first out as well. How was it for you?
Me?
You were first out, weren't you, Juice?
Yeah, I was. For me, I manifested it too on accident. Before I left, I went to my husband and I said, the only placement I want is first out, top five, or winner. So I said, if I don't get any of those, then at least I've got something, you know?
But question for both of you. Did either of you say this to production? Did production get privy?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Oh,
I didn't know if this is something in a confessional.
Oh, you yeah said that to production?
I said to our psychiatrist. I was like, I always said to him, I don't care where I come. as long as I don't go first. So, yeah.
Mm. Oh, see? Doctor patient confidentiality out the window. Gone.
No, I'm gone, sure. I'm very sure that it was kept under strict confidentiality.
Yes, of course. I'm sure. Yes, of course. Absolutely. Of course.
Sorry, yeah, I had to take a sip of my drink there.
Just how that manifested. So what has life been like since leaving? You know, since what has the career looked like since? What have you been up to?
I kind of said after Drag Race, I was like, I'm just going to use the first year to work everywhere and say yes to everything. And I've kind of done that. Yes. And now I'm like, okay, what's next? Because people are on tender hooks about what I'm going to do next.
Exactly. They might be, yeah, they will.
They are. They care so much, those 6.5 people. I include myself as a half. I am going to do, I want to spend the next year doing two different projects. One of them, I want to do a podcast where I kind of search out people that know Jerry and they kind of help me get close to her through like telling me things about her that maybe I wouldn't have known, or maybe they have like interesting anecdotes about where they met her. Like, I don't know, maybe they met her buying a chicken in Tesco's in 1994. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I did a film very similar to this, like, 7 years ago. And I ended up in a park in Watford, where Jerry's from, and met a man that used to know her mom. And then he told me a story that had nothing to do with Jerry. But he used to be a taxi driver, and once a month he was the one that all of the there was like a big cross-dressing community in Watford at the time. Okay. And this was like in the 70s, so they all used to go and have these TV dinners and like just all get together. And yeah, he was, sorry, I'm in East London, listeners. There's no police coming for me. And yeah, he just told me this really interesting story about, you know, driving all of these people round and like how, yeah, Watford has changed through the years, and how everyone kind of knew Jerry's mum because she was a cleaner in the local mall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other thing I want to do is a show that kind of has the same narrative but is more concise. So it's, yeah,
like both projects are going to be Finding Ginger Spice.
Yeah.
I love you. Oh my god, you've got ginger on the brain. Okay,
well, so I am ginger.
It's going to take these two projects, but I feel like you will make contact. Like, you are going to eventually meet.
I kind of don't want to now.
Oh, it's why? Like, don't meet your heroes kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, well, she just released a book. It's this kid's book. And the publishers got in touch with me and they were like, Jerry loves your stuff. And she really wants to send you a personalized signed copy. And then they sent it to me and it didn't even have a signature in it. And I was like, oh, you literally just sent me a copy from a bookshelf.
I was like,
that is the level of interaction that I want, where it's like,
a PR,
sure, she knows. Yeah. Where it's like, sure, she knows, but also, no, we don't want to acknowledge that.
I have a person who you could talk to for your podcast.
Absolutely. Who is it?
Yeah. His name's DK. He's one of my old CrossFit coaches, and he used to be a rugby player in the UK. And then he was a he had to model for something because they hired a bunch of rugby players. So he got to go to this like fashion week after party, and Jerry was wasted at a table, and he was this like hot young rugby player, and he went to all of his friends and he went, I'm going to go make out with Ginger Spice right now. And all of them were like, it's not going to happen. And he went, it's going to happen. And he just walked over, looked at her, and then they just made out.
I mean, that's hardcore Jerry energy as well.
Right? He's just like, and I made out with Jerry. He's like, I made out with Ginger Spice. He's like, it's amazing. And I was like, I would tattoo that on my chest.
I'd be like, sorry, could you just like sit on my face so that I can tattoo that?
Yeah.
Jerry was here.
I love it.
This is why I will never meet her, because I say things like that.
Well, I find it interesting that both projects this year are going to be to find her, and you don't actually want to do that.
I mean, the content would end if she.
Yeah. Like, we want to get season two of the podcast.
That's true. That, hey, you guys are thinking more than I am. Hear all the stuff. Yeah. I thought I was smart. And it's
content great. Queens. Content.
Got it.
Diva. Content.
Do you want to play a fun little lightning round, Jess May?
I absolutely do.
Okay, this is a fun little podcast moment where we just give you a this or that, and you just have to answer what your gut tells you. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, fabulous. Sweet or spicy?
Spicy.
Ginger or baby?
What was that?
Ginger or baby?
Oh, ginger, obviously. But my first favorite was actually Baby Spice at the very start.
Oh, interesting. Maybe that's why you were drawn to our podcast, because we were both Baby Spice.
That's exactly what it is. And also because, you know, got support.
Thank you for supporting us. Thanks, we appreciate that. Okay, wedge or stiletto?
Oh, wedge.
Yeah.
Red or blonde?
Red with blonde.
Yeah, both.
This is lightning round. There is no other answers. Red or blonde, Jess May.
Red.
Fine. All stars or Dragula?
All stars.
Yeah. All stars. That was there was some hesitation there. You were just maybe.
My friend Anaphylactic is on the next series of Dragula, so I will be watching that.
Fabulous. Oh, fab. I love that. And first out or winner?
Oh, first out.
Period.
Come on, where are the winners now? Name me three.
Who knows?
I love the confidence. Just say, it's been such a pleasure to have you on Semi-Qualified Queens. So we know we got to look out for two projects where you're finding Ginger Spice. But in the meantime, is there anything you want to plug or promote?
I mean, I'm always looking to be plugged, but at the minute, you can just find me on all good social medias at Just May Does. And everything I do is always up there, so you'll know where to find me. There's some fun Christmas things coming up. Mm. You might be seeing me in a window or two, you know, some promotions and things, so, you know. Exciting.
Those endorsements, girly.
I'm very endorsed. Very endorsed.
Yeah.
I'm very well endorsed.
Yeah, there it is.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really had a great time chatting with you about all things Jess May and all things Ginger. And if you guys want to see Jess May, follow her on all socials, and we'll see you later, Diva.
Bye.
Bye. All right, we're back. How's that?
She's so good. So Jess May made this comment after we finished the interview where she was saying about 5 minutes into an episode, our voices start to blend together. This is the second guest we've had, Juice, where they can't tell us apart. I feel like we have to start introducing each sentence we say with, I'm Cynthia and I think this.
I am Cynthia and I'm about to say something.
No, amazing. No. That's confusing. You need to say your name. That was a really bad time to say I'm Cynthia. Yeah. You're confusing them again.
Hello, my name is Cynthia Kiss, and I'm about to say something horrible and controversial. That way you get the hate.
I'm Juice Fox, and I hate everyone and everything.
Don't even pretend to do a soft voice. We sound exactly the same. Although I think because I'm feeling a little under the weather, I probably sound different than you today.
Good, because sometimes apparently we're confusing our guests. Mm-hmm, but that was fabulous. Apparently. Such a delight. She's super fun. Obviously, the Wi-Fi sometimes can be a trick going across the pond, but she hopped on 5G and we made it work.
We made it work. Also, and something that I did ask off camera was if she had a Jerry Halliwell tattoo, and she doesn't.
She does not. I know that she does not. We're begging to know.
Begging. I want to know.
The DMs.
Just because I'm a tattoo girly, I'm getting a dragon on this arm to cover this up.
I don't know why you're covering that up. I wish you would like go around.
It looks like a prison tattoo. I have a sword with a rose on it that I got during a manic episode that never should have gotten done. They should have said no to me, and it looks like a prison tattoo. It needs to go.
I like your manic episodes.
Speaking of manic episodes, we are going to get to some audience questions real quick. Hey. So this one is from Eric from the UK, and he says, some questions for Miss Kiss and Miss Box. It seems like the Coutures and the Bagas and the Banks are famous or very strong drag families in Canada. You talk about Tainomi a lot, and based on what we see on TV and press, those are the three big names. What are your thoughts on them as performers? Have you worked with them much? Are there other Drag Race Canada families we should know about? Now, when you say families, like, the bank, there's no Banks family. There's just Tainomi. Tainomi doesn't have daughters.
Eric,
who are these other Bankses that you're talking about? Because when I read that, I went, whom? whom?
You're getting all your facts wrong. You should come on Semi-Qualified Queens.
Yeah, you should be a Semi-Qualified Queens. You should get, remember that guy who sent us that long message being like, all of your facts are wrong, and it makes me
all
crazy.
All of your facts are wrong. Eric is our new fact checker.
wasn't he like Anon Jock? Ugh, what a great day. So like for families, like there's for the families in Canada, the big families, there's the Coutures, obviously, the Heights, which are are a huge family out here. Brooklyn's mother, Fahrenheit. And then there's Brooke, there's Carlotta Carlisle, Katinka Couture, Catherine Heights Dior, like, Clint Licker, who's Michael DeFrugio, who's, I know, what a fucking name. But so that's a big family out here. What are the families out in Vancouver?
Oh, I mean, Kendall has a ton of kids, and then her kids have kids. So if you're counting like the genders, like the generations, there's so many. Mm-hmm. Like that's Venus is on, you know, season 4. I'm sure we're gonna hear all about it. The family tree, if you will. I'm sure there's many, but it's my coffee has to kick in and think about it more.
And there is a lot of Bagas too. There's a lot of Bagas out in Quebec. Yeah, because Rita's been doing drag for so long. Obviously, she's gonna have a bunch of kids.
Absolutely. And then the Nuffs. Mm-hmm. Remember last week when we were talking about, or 2 weeks ago?
Oh yeah,
there's the cast. All the Nuffs.
All the Nuffs. Tan enough. Near enough. Not enough. Fair enough. You know, all of them. So I find there's a lot of big families out here, but what are your thoughts of them as performers? Have you worked with them much? So I've worked with obviously all of them, and they're all incredible performers. If they weren't, they wouldn't be working like they do. I would say the best one out of the lot is, although she doesn't have a family and daughters, Tainomi is one of the better ones.
Totally. A really strong performer. I think the idea of drag families though is so beautiful. Like, the idea of what they are like as performers. I guess I can speak to how beautiful it is to see when there's a drag family and they're just extra supportive. You know, like all of us backstage can let each other borrow a bobby pin or a hairspray. But when you have a drag family, they're doing like, they're loaning costumes, wigs. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to another level of support that I've always found really beautiful to watch in the community because you really help raise each other up.
Do you have any daughters?
I don't. And I don't know why I don't. I there was a point where I think I felt like such a lost little chicken with my drag that it felt like it would be a baby raising a baby. And then
you didn't want to be a teen mom.
I didn't want to be a teen mom. Yeah. And then all of a sudden my life just got kind of crazy and busy. Maybe this is my way of saying I'd be open to it. Cause I think there is something to be said about mentoring someone.
Careful, bitch. You're gonna get a flood of DMs if you say you're open.
Then let it flood, BB. I can say no.
Well, I've said no a lot. Tiffany, my daughter Tiffany Box, she has almost exclusively said that she is an only child.
I think she would have a bigger problem with it than you.
Yeah. If I had another daughter, I feel like she would not love that.
Because I have a lot of old drag kind of kicking around and some experience under my belt that at this point I feel like I could see that actually being something realistic, probably a Vancouver queen, just because proximity, but none at the moment, But maybe.
Do you know who would be a great? She'd be a great daughter for you.
Who?
Hazel.
Oh, I mean, I love Hazel. She's great. I'm pretty sure she's been adopted.
I know. I just a Hazel kiss. You're just two hot models. Like, come on. Like,
I know. I'd be like, teach me how to get those abs again.
She's just diving. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, no children.
One thing
moment.
I do understand. Oh, no. Keep going.
No children at the moment. But again, it's always so beautiful to see that in our world. I think drag families are beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And I do find that the Canada's Drag Race girls become a bit of a family. You know,
exactly. I think that's part of it, too.
You know, we're a part of this, like, exclusive little club. Because it's not like the American girls where there's, like 5,000 of them, you know? Like, Canada, I think there's only 30 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe 40 now. But still, there's not a lot.
Spin facts.
Just fucking misinformation constantly.
17 of us.
I don't know. I think there's, like, I don't know, a few, a handful. You know what? Just me and Cynthia and Priyanka.
It's just us.
Yeah. It's just us. But if you want to be part of the Semi-Qualified Queens family, go to Instagram at Semi-Qualified Queens Pod, Twitter at SQQ Pod using the hashtag Semi-Qualified Questions, or email us at SemiQualifiedQueensPod@gmail.com like Eric did.
I was going to say, Eric emailed in.
Eric emailed.
But if you want to hear your sexy voice on the podcast, you can record a voice memo at www.speakpipe.com/ why can I not talk? SQQPOD.
We are going to. Oh my god! I just broke.
We are fucking up this outro.
This episode's rough. This outro is rough. We are going to be back next week. Do you know what next week is going to be? Do you know who is going to be next week?
Juice, don't make me say it on the podcast again because we keep rescheduling. So I'm not going to say.
Okay. I don't know who's going to be next week, but we got a special surprise for you next week for our interview. I'm going to go take a nap.
It's probably gonna be my brother, but if he's not available, we'll have to figure it out.
Oh my god, or we had that other guy. Yeah. Anyways, all right, love you guys so much. Thank you so much for the support again, and we will see you next week for another very special episode of Semi-Qualified Games.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.